This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, it's great to be with you today. I want to ask, how many of you are from Ohio? All right. We got two of you out there, a couple more. I'm from Cleveland area, as Rick said. And this has been a big year for Cleveland because if I'm a sports guy, and so some of you know that our prodigal came home, right? So we have a picture of this guy up here, I think. A picture up there? Okay, there he is. And we're sort of eager to see what happens. Like, there's all kinds of excitement in Cleveland. Like, will we have our first city championship in 50 years? The last time was 1964. And then, if you're a football fan, a couple months ago, we drafted...
Carshaw.
Oh, do it. Johnny, right? He's still trying to grow up a little bit, but, you know, we're grateful. You guys can go to the next verse up there. I'm going to be here, though, this week, and I would be real glad to get together. Rick asked me, he said, why don't you mention that? If you want to sign up at his office or just catch me after chapel, if there's a time you want to just talk to someone who's from outside or what does it mean to be a pastor or something like that, I'd be really glad to chat about life or anything else. My years at CIU had a huge shaping influence in my life. And I want to tell you, just I hope that these years that you spend here, you are in a great place, that God will shape and mold you. And it won't just be, well, I finished college, but that God made me the kind of person He wanted me to be. How many of you are here at school with a sibling? Can I see your hand? You have a brother or sister here, okay? I was in that situation. In fact, when I was at CIU, I'll tell you some stories about Dr. Crutchfield tomorrow. I got to know him just after he got out of prison. I don't know if you knew. He didn't tell you that? Oh, we'll tell you tomorrow about that, but it's a sad story. But I was here with my older brother, my younger sister, my other younger sister, and that was after my other older sister and older sister and older brother and older sister had attended CIU. So if you add all those together, I am one of eight of siblings who came to CIU, and there was nine of us, so you thought my family was big, five children. I was one of nine, so my dad thinks I have a mom, think I have a small family, but eight of us, nine children came here. We all look back and say, God, You worked in our lives in such a cool way, and five of my siblings have been serving overseas and just going and saying, we want to make Jesus known, as the motto of this school so clearly states. My wife also, I met here, and I know you hear jokes about that. When I was back here, they called it Columbia Bridal College and all the rest. But my wife is, we came from very different backgrounds. My wife was sort of from a pagan family. They didn't go to church at all. Her brother ended up being a crack addict. Her dad left when she was four. He was married five times. And my wife, when she was at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina, a girl in her hall, came and shared Jesus with her, and my wife had never knew there was such a thing as a Christian college. And someone said, oh, there's two of them. There's one in Minnesota, and there's one in Columbia, South Carolina. She said, well, I'm not going to Minnesota, so I'll go to that one in South Carolina. Never visited. She applied, and she ended up coming to CIU, and that's how we met. And, you know, God used faculty and other students to be mentors to her, and we have had 26 years of amazing marriage, and I'm really, really grateful for her. We have five kids, and that's why she couldn't be here this week. Yeah, that's just a little bit about who I am. I'd be glad to get together this week, but really thankful to be back at a place that has meant so much to me. This is called the Christian Life Conference, and I think what that sort of begs the question is, what is the Christian life? Like, when we talk about a Christian life conference, you say, well, what does it mean to live the Christian life? So what I want to do is start with a verse and then tell you a story as we launch in this week to explore that topic that really is so core to who we are. First, the verse. You're going to see this on the screen up there. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And what I'd like you to do is to say this aloud with me. Let's say it together. Would you say it with me? Ready? We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now, what does Paul say we have? It's not a trick question. He says, we have a what? We have a treasure, Paul says. He's not talking about sort of an elite few or just the initial followers of Jesus and saying, well, they have a treasure. He's saying, no, every person who puts their trust in Jesus Christ has an amazing treasure. I have a treasure. You have a treasure. But you know what I think happens? I think a lot of us, on many days that we wake up, we forget that we have a treasure. We walk around like we're as anybody else who does not have Christ, and we don't live like we have a treasure. Reminds me of, reminds me of Ira Yates. Some of you will recognize this story after I tell it, but Ira Yates owned a lot of land in West Texas on which they raised sheep. True story. And Mr. Yates, he didn't do real well because this was during the Depression, so they struggled to make ends meet, even to put food and clothing on, you know, out for his kids. And it was honestly a struggle to just make ends meet. So things got to the point where Mr. Yates was in danger of losing his property because he couldn't even afford to pay the taxes on this large piece of land that they owned. Well, as Yates is facing inevitable bankruptcy, this oil company approaches Ira Yates. And they tell him, they go, you know, we think there might be oil on your property. Would you be willing for us to do some testing? Figured he didn't have anything to lose, right? He's about to lose the property. He goes, yeah, you can do testing. And the oil company began to drill, and at a very shallow depth, they struck the largest oil field that at that time was the largest oil field in the entire continent of North America. It was a deposit that would produce over 80,000 barrels of oil every day. Every day. Overnight, Ira Yates became a billionaire. Or did he? If you think about it, Yates had been a billionaire for how long? Ever since he purchased the property, right? He just didn't know the treasure that he had, right? Yates was a billionaire. He had a treasure. He just didn't live like he had the treasure. And you know, I think that's how so many of us end up living the Christian life. The Bible tells us that, you know, we've received in Christ every spiritual blessing, right? In Christ, that we have this amazing inheritance, but like Yates, a lot of us live like we don't have the treasure. We live like we're in spiritual poverty. Maybe as Christians, if we're honest, we'd say, if you ask me how my life differs from that student with whom I went to high school, or maybe, you know, that next door neighbor, whoever it was that did not know Christ, is there a significant difference between my life and their life in the way that we live? Or am I the kind of person that gives into temptation over and over and over again? Is there something qualitatively different about my life because of the treasure that I have? Or do I live like I don't have a treasure? You know, I find as a pastor, there are so many people who live without much of a sense of purpose. They're rarely inspired by awe. They don't feel like they have that much to look forward to. Some struggle. They go, I don't really know the way God made me. If they even believe that, but they think, you know, if I just had her gifts or if I had his personality, if I had their looks, I would feel better about who I am. Because what they think of when they think of who they are is they think of the shell and they forget the treasure. And Paul says, we have this treasure. We have this amazing treasure. You and I, if we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are sitting on top of this huge oil deposit. You, if you're a follower of Christ, you are a spiritual billionaire. Do you believe that? I mean, you have this amazing treasure within. When we talk about the Christian life, at the core, that's what the Christian life is. In fact, I'd like you, if you have your Bible, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. And what I want us to do is to look at a powerful little phrase that Paul gives us that I believe is an absolute game changer for those looking for ultimate meaning in life. If you want a life of purpose and adventure, Paul gives it to us here in Colossians chapter 1, a definition of Christianity that frankly just turns my crank, because there's a key phrase here that I think gives every Christian this sense of identity that you say, man, who I was before I knew Jesus. You know, we sang in that one song that, Lord, you knew the day I'd walk away from you. You knew the day I'd come back. And the day that I came back to Jesus, everything changed. And that's what Paul talks about here in Colossians chapter 1. Look for the key phrase. We're going to start in verse 25 and read through the end there, verse 29. But see if you can pick out the key phrase. What does it mean to be a Christian, to live the Christian life? Verse 25 of Colossians 1. I have become the church's servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works within me. Did you catch the key phrase there? Verse 27, here's what I think we could say is the greatest thing about being a Christian, simply this: Christ lives in you. We have this treasure. Friends, that's the essence of Christianity, that Jesus comes to live in me. He came to live in you the moment that you put your trust in Him, the most incredible privilege and honor, just a total game changer. In fact, the Apostle Paul can't get over it. If you see what he calls this treasure in verse 27, he calls them glorious riches. You see that there? You know, it's sort of, Paul does this again and again. In Ephesians 2, he says that God has shown to us the incomparable riches of His grace. In Ephesians 3, he calls them unsearchable riches. Glorious, incomparable, unsearchable, that we have this treasure. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's true about you. It matters what you know, because it can change the way you live. That's the Christian life. You know, Paul is so excited about this that he sort of just keeps on piling up the words for us, trying to describe the wonder of this reality. He says in verse 25 that this truth expresses the full message of God's Word. In other words, it's not some kind of sideline truth or theological trivia. He says this is the Word of God in its fullness. Like, this is it. The same God who made everything that we see, who always has been and always will be, the same God who broke into our world, lives a perfect life, loved people, never messed up, is the same God, this eternal, almighty God who comes to live inside you and me. We have this treasure. That's what he's saying. The next verse there, he says it's a secret or a mystery, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed. He says, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. In the New Testament, a mystery refers to some kind of truth that had been before hidden, but now is made known, it's revealed to this newly born following the church, you know, of Jesus that hadn't been told before. It was left to the New Testament to make the wonders of these mysteries known, and there's various ones talked about in the New Testament. And this is one of them. He says, this mystery has now been revealed, that we have this incredible privilege of Christ living in us. So that's the treasure, that God is not only for you, God is not only with you, but God lives where? In you. He lives in you. So Jesus kept his promise. Here's how. Just before he goes to the cross, he's speaking to his disciples. You remember how in John 13 to 17, they're grieving because they're saying, we followed you for three, and you're going to be gone, like you're leaving. And Jesus says, it's better for you that I go. And they're sort of perplexed. How can it be better for us if you go? And here's what Jesus tells them. He makes this promise in John chapter 14. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and what? Will be in you. He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's his promise, that when he returned to heaven, that he would send his Spirit to be with us and to live in us forever. I'll just pause for a moment here. To stop and ponder. I mean, after all, Paul says this is a mystery, right? Mysteries deserve to be pondered. When you think of the fact that God lives in you, if you've put your trust in him, that you have this amazing how does that change the way you see your life? Can you imagine the Yates family? Do you think they ever forgot the treasure? You know, his wife says, hey, you think we can go out for a Chick-fil-A? And he goes, I don't know if we've got enough money. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we have that oil out in the backyard, you know. Or they never forgot the treasure. That treasure was always with them. Friends, that's like a temporary kind of treasure, right? When we have this eternal God living within us, the Spirit of Jesus changes everything, right? I mean, that's the Christian life. The early New Testament writers, you know, the Christ followers couldn't get over it. In fact, the rest of the New Testament, they talk about it. Let me just mention a few verses. You'll see these on the screen. Acts 7:48, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. In other words, God's address is no longer in the tabernacle, is no longer in a temple, it's not in a church building. God doesn't live here. I always tell the people at our church, I say, when you walk into this place, you're not walking into church. The church is walking into the building, right? And when you leave here, the church is leaving the building. Because God doesn't live in this building. He lives where? He lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Another verse, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. One of the best known verses on the topic, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Paul's saying, in fact, he says several times in that chapter, he says, don't you know? Have you forgotten? People in that chapter, he's talking to them about their sexuality. He goes, some of you are having sex like you forget that actually Jesus lives in you. You don't belong to yourself. He says, you are now the temple of God. God lives in you. Inside this body is the very living God of the universe. We have this treasure. You know what I want for my life? What I want for your life? There's a lot of people. I live in a city that is not like a Christian kind of place. You know, there's a lot of seekers, a lot of people disillusioned. And what I want for me, what I want for you, is that our lives will only be explainable because of the life and the power of that God living in us. That they'll look at us and they'll go, you know what? Maybe there is a God. Because if someone can be that loving, even with difficult people, if someone can have that kind of joy, even in the midst of really tough circumstances, if they can have peace, even living in that kind of stress, if they can be that self-controlled, that gentle, that kind, that all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, if there are people who can be like that, maybe there really is a God. that Jesus Christ living in us will make such a difference that people will look and go, how do they live like that? And we'll know. We have this treasure. Years ago, I heard a teacher and author, Major Ian Thomas, had a real influence in my life. He's from England. In fact, his two of his sons were the alumni of the year this past year, Chris and Mark. And Major Ian Thomas would talk about the danger of settling for a half Christianity. He says it this way. He says, Jesus did not come from heaven to earth just to get us out of hell and into heaven, though he's the only one who can do that. He also came to get himself out of heaven and into us. I think that's such a great way of saying what it means to be a Christian. That Jesus did not come from heaven to earth just to get us out of hell and into heaven, but he came from heaven to earth to get himself out of heaven and into us. So by his death, he has secured my forgiveness. By his resurrection, he now comes to live within me so that there's this massive shift in my identity. Folks, really, that truly is the greatest thing about being a Christian, that Christ lives in you. When Jesus comes into my life, it's not just this little change in my religious affiliation. It's the most fundamental part of who I am. No longer am I known first as an American, you know, or by whatever passport you happen to carry. That's not what defines me most. I'm not defined most by if I'm a Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever, because that doesn't define the core of who I am, or by my sports affiliation or what team I root for. If I'm black or white or Hispanic or Asian or whatever socioeconomic level, that doesn't define the core of who I am. At the core of who I am is what Paul says here. This secret, this mystery was hidden for ages past. Now has been made known that Christ lives in you. We have this treasure. It's amazing. When I was in high school, I worked at a huge discount store. Our claim to fame was that we sold more Coca-Cola than any store in the world. This is a store in Cleveland, Ohio. We sold more Q-tips, we sold more Hanes underwear, we sold more than a lot of things of any store in the entire world. It was this hustling, bustling place. So one of the jobs, I stocked shelves. I did this while I was in high school and also while I was at CIU. I'd do it in the summers and I'd go home and earn money for pay my tuition. I stocked shelves, worked in the warehouse. One of the jobs they would give me is I was like a Brinks truck for the store. So I'd go into the office, they'd call me back, say, John, come back to the office, and they'd give me a bag. And they'd say, Jonathan, we want you to take this bag, go out the front doors, across the park, and I want you to go to the bank and go to the last teller on the right and give the teller this bag. This bag has $10,000 of cash in it. I guess they trusted me, you know. They didn't trust Dr. Crutchfield. That's how he wound up in prison. They give me this bag, and I'd walk out the door. And you know how I felt when I was walking across the parking lot? I was like, someone's going to rob me. Someone is coming after me. I've got $10,000 cash in this bag. But no one gawked. No one stared. Why? Because it was just an ordinary paper bag. Just because you can't see the treasure doesn't mean the treasure is not real, right? We have this treasure in what? Jars of clay, just an ordinary container back in the day. Today they might say we have this treasure in a brown paper bag so that others will know that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Friends, just because you can't see the treasure inside of you, inside of the person next to you, doesn't mean the treasure is not real. Christ lives in you. In fact, would you look at the person next to you and tell them this? Say, you have the most amazing treasure inside. Would you tell them that? Just look at them. You have the most amazing treasure inside. So what else are you telling them right now? And you look like a brown paper bag. Friends, that is the Christian life. We have this treasure within. Christ lives in you. And that's what we want to explore this week. That you and I, the moment we put our trust in Christ, everything changed. And the very God of the universe came to live in you and in me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, to think that you would take ordinary people like us, like me, faulty, sinful, insecure, and God, that you would come and you would change your address from an ornate temple and change your address so that now your address is me. My brothers and sisters here in this room, Lord, that's astounding to us. But Lord, we want to live like we have the treasure. So Lord, in these days to come, open that up for us, I pray, that our lives would be qualitatively different because we are the home of the Most High God. Lord, thank you for each person here. You know the pressures they face today, this week. You know the hurts, the pains, the challenges, the questions. You know those who are feeling on top of the world and those who are feeling the world is on top of them. Lord, thank you that you are with us and in us today. So we trust you and we commit the rest of this day to you and our week ahead. Jesus, in your name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, have a great day.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.